Midnight Market, the ultimate podcast for all of you hustlers and dreamers out there. Join us on this electrifying journey from side hustle to CEO, where we dish out insider secrets, success stories, entrepreneurial wisdom, everything that you need to conquer the business world. I'm Kira Dineen. I'm CEO of DNA Today and part of the iShook team. And I'm with the CEO of iShook, Benny.
Thank you. Thank you, Kira. Yes, I am here. I appreciate everybody who's watching and subscribing to the Midnight Market and to the iShook Co. main channel and YouTube. Don't forget we got ClickTalk.com and don't forget iShookTV.com, which is ClickTalk. And don't forget that we also have our beautiful social media site, iShook.com. Please sign up, subscribe, and earn. That's my message.
We got a whole network, a whole community of iShook products and everything. So a lot to keep you guys going.
The iShook ecosystem.
iShook ecosystem. You could tell that's the word I was searching for that I couldn't quite find. So I appreciate it. As co-hosts, we already, you know, we've only done, this is episode number 5 of Midnight Market. We're already feeding off of each other. I love it.
I love it too. All right, talk to me.
Hopefully we'll also disagree today a little bit because that always makes for good episodes. I love disagreeing with you,
we've
Benny.
Been agreeing too much already.
I know.
It's too much already.
We got to start getting into a tussle here. I know. I'm too agreeable with you.
I want to get Kira angry at me. Yeah, I can't get her angry at me. It's not working.
I hope that what we're going to do in this episode today is we're going to watch some of the most popular YouTube shorts about business and entrepreneurship. And we're going to share if we agree, disagree, provide a little more commentary on it. And our first video is someone that's controversial. So I like starting out with someone controversial, Elon Musk.
My buddy. He's my buddy. Elon is my buddy.
I need a little more information to decide if I'm a fan or not. But he has some information about starting a new business and you know what you should be thinking about. So let's hear from them, and then the two of us will talk about if we agree, disagree, and what's going on there.
Here we go. I like this view. All right, let's see, Mr. Elon, what you got to say? Let's see what you got to say.
Or new market that if it's an untapped market, or then. You have more ability to the standard is lower for your product or service. But if you're entering anything where there's an existing marketplace against large entrenched competitors, then your product or service needs to be much better than theirs. It can't be a little bit better, because then you put yourself in the shoes of the consumer and they say, why would you buy it as a consumer? You're always going to buy the trusted brand unless there's a big difference. So a lot of times entrepreneur will come up with something which is only slightly better. And it's not, it can't just be slightly better. It's got to be a lot better.
Interesting.
All right. Agree or disagree?
He's really talking about a markets that are complex markets. Mm-hmm. Like if you're getting, like why, if right now, by the way, Tucker Carlson had a new video about how interviews of how Amazon is monopolizing the market, where if you're a seller and you don't match your prices to eBay or Walmart and you go higher than the known prices, then they block your buy box.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So he's right. For you to ever compete with an Amazon, you got to do same day service, like just as good in order to beat them. And what Shopify store can do that? No one can do that in these small Shopify. How are you going to do same day?
Yeah. And that's highlighting kind of more of the end part. He's focused on that beginning part of as you're developing a product or service.
Yeah, your service has to be
so
better.
Much better. Yeah, but so yeah, like the service part of that aspect. Yes.
Right. So definitely if you're selling e-commerce, what service can you have to be better than Amazon service?
Yeah.
I mean, and so I don't really know if Amazon is a monopoly technically.
Because right, they provide because you a have better a lot of different service. Sellers on there. It's more of a platform, the way I view it now. Yeah. It didn't used to be, but now it's like you can have, as an independent seller, you can list on there and have that be your avenue of people finding your products. But I think he has a good point. Obviously, he's coming from, you know, having mostly like the car industry and stuff. And obviously he's done a lot of other things. Didn't he design PayPal? Wasn't that him?
Yeah. But it was not just him. There were all the people who designed PayPal became billionaires after. I mean, they're all geniuses.
Yeah. I mean, makes sense. Like, we still use PayPal very much today. I know the two of us do a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I think that's a really good point of if you have a very well-known company, you're like, okay, I know their products are going to be solid versus someone new in this space that is not as established. In order for me to buy from that not as established company, their product has to like be way better than the others.
Yeah, but he's saying the product is not even relevant. He's saying that even that your service must be beyond.
Oh, that's not what I was getting from it. I was getting
you want to hear it again? Like,
we could hear the end part again. The beginning part, he's kind of stumbling through a little bit.
Right. Well, I don't know if I can zoom in a
show. Oh, I don't know if you can do that. But
if you're a new company, I mean, unless it's like some new industry or new market that if it's an untapped market, or then you don't have competition if it's untapped.
Yeah.
The standard is lower for your product or service. But if you're entering anything where there's an existing marketplace against large entrenched competitors, then your product or service needs to be much better than theirs.
Oh,
it can't be a little bit better
then.
Because then you put yourself in the shoes of the...
It's either one.
Yeah.
It's either one. So product or service, yes.
Right. Because on the product side, like, you know, if let's use TVs as an example. I'm not going to get some TV that I've never heard of. I'm going to go with the big names, right? I'm going to go with Sony, Samsung, LG, like one of those because
don't care. I'll take the cheaper TV.
You'll take the cheaper one?
I'll take
it.
I don't care.
I'm a TV head. It's gotta be good. No, like, I'm a techie person.
Yeah, I understand. But with TVs, I take the cheapest TV possible.
You just take the cheapest?
Yeah, because TVs don't last anyway. They got an expiration date anyway. So what's the difference? If I can get a cheaper TV, I don't care if it has a 1 year, 2 year less expiration date, I'll just buy another TV. So whatever
you not something to buy high quality because you know it's not going to last a long time.
Especially now. Before, in the industry of television, it used to be, Sony... You got to get a Sony because those TVs either last you 20, 30, 40 years, right?
Right.
But now these TVs, you know, they're not expected to have a high yield, date. I mean, isn't there like a theory where people purposely make their products theory called?
I think Apple kind of is like that. Is a good example of like your iPhone will start kind of being slow and not really working. And I don't know. I've heard that they set it up kind of that way on purpose. So you're like, this is slow. I guess I should get a new one.
No, they don't
want it to last you 10 years.
No, they don't. And by the way, they can't let it last you 10 years. There's a reason why.
Why?
Because your patents expire after 10 years. I can go and recreate the first iPhone because it's expired. But what's the point of it? So therefore, they make it on purpose that the expiration date goes, and there's constant movement of updating and recreating the iPhone. So
especially
the iOS.
Right, and it's just like slowing it down and everything, and because it is remarkable that the iPhone hasn't really changed that much other than losing the home button. Like, it pretty much looks the same as it did in 2007. You know what I mean? Like, it's a little thinner now and all of that, and the screen's a little bigger, or whatever, but. That's kind of a side.
I mean, what do you want them to change? You want to make a Z Fold iPhone?
Kinda. My brother is slowly leaving the Apple ecosystem, and I am just so entrenched in it. I don't think there's a way out for me. But I'm relatively happy with Apple products. But I mean, seeing his phone, it's like he's got the phone, and then it just like turns into like an iPad, like a mini iPad. And, you know, it's like we're sitting watching TV. He just opens it up. He's like, and I'm like, that is really cool. Like,
it is. But it'll be cooler for to have the iOS interface. That's no doubt.
Oh, definitely. Like, I mean, I love how all my devices talk to each other. I got the Mac. I got the watch. I don't have the iPad anymore. I had the original iPad, but,
I still have the original, but it doesn't work.
Yeah. Yeah. I still physically have it. Sometimes I load PDFs on it so I can read it like an ebook. But that's all it does anymore. I think Elon has a good point here. When you have an untapped market, it's kind of like you have a lot more flexibility to be like, okay, I can just make a good product and I'm not really competing.
Yeah. But I think
nowadays, how often do you have an untapped market?
Well, I think the reality is a product that is new and that has a patent is an untapped market. You got that market.
Okay.
If you have a unique product, you got that product for 10 years, obviously, if it's patent.
Right. But I feel like a lot of things aren't. Like, I think something that I'm someone that often, you know, I'm inside for people watching the video and I'm set up with my microphone and everything. But when I'm not recording or not in a meeting, I'm often sitting outside working. And so I'm like, all right, well, I'm used to having multiple screens. So I purchased a thing that basically it's like an extra screen that I can just attach on to my laptop, and it comes with a little thing.
I know that.
Yeah, love that. And this company that I bought from is the only one that basically had a way where I didn't have to sit at a desk. I could have it in my lap, because the other ones need a little extra support because they're so heavy. So that's something that I'm like, this is the only one that I found that does that. So even though it's a very high quality product, I love it. Even if it was worse, I probably still would have bought it, because there was nothing else like it in the market.
Exactly.
That I found.
Yes, so that's what happens. And that's what happened.
So they, in my mind, in this little tiny area of people like me that want to sit outside and work, but don't want to, like, I want to sit in a chair that kind of leans back. I don't want to be at a table. That's very specific, right? How many people are exactly like that out there? But they got me for it, right? And now I'm looking at, okay, what new products do they have? Now I'm like, now I want to add more products on, because they're going to have something where it can hold my phone as well as another screen, and it can, it's going to do the ring light.
They've already proven themselves.
Yes. So now I'm in. If they have new products, yeah, I'm going to check it out. And if it looks appealing to me, I'm going to buy it, right? So they've got me as a customer now.
Yes.
Now I'm not looking at those other companies that have these, like, quote unquote, portable extra screens, because I'm like, no, this is what works for me. I'm done. I did my research. Now I'm like happily stuck with them for a while.
Love it. I'm same way. Mm-hmm. But not every company, only some.
Like, right. It depends.
It's gotta be something unique that they've done. And you know, they're going to also always do unique stuff. I have another company, but I'm not going to mention their name. And it's a great company, mm-hmm. and they've done a lot of products, but I'm not going to mention their name.
Yeah.
And I got their first product many, many years ago when the first iPhone came out, the iPad came out. Mm. It was a screen protector.
Okay.
And since then they've become a powerhouse of products, of accessories for phones and tech, you know. And
yeah.
that itself, they've kind of evolved to what they are now, which is
right. It is exciting also as a consumer when you learn about a company when it's early on, because you feel like, hey, I was in on it. Even though I'm not involved in the company, I feel a tie to them, right? And I should give them a shout out because I'm giving them all this good press. XSpec, yeah. I think is how it's
pronounced. They also owe us money for this.
Yeah, I was gonna say, if you guys want to sponsor us, I love your product. So and apparently they are coming out with something new and exciting this week.
So we gotta email them. Like, listen,
yeah, we gotta get in on that.
You guys.
Yeah, totally.
All right, let's go to the next video.
Let's go to the next video. So as you pull this up.
Yeah, so we agree with Elon, right?
I agree with Elon in this context.
Right. I mean, the guy created SpaceX, Tesla, PayPal.
Yeah. He's done some interesting things. With Twitter, now X. So yes, there's X. some things com, I disagree right. with how he's done that, but we'll save that for another episode.
All right. That's another. All right. Let's go to the next guy. Who's this guy?
So this next guy, I have no idea who he is, to be
Alex
honest.
Hormozy. I heard of him. Yeah.
All right, cool. I've seen him pop up in my feeds before. Yeah. But so he's going to kind of take you through steps of starting a business. And Benny, I'm interested to hear your thoughts afterwards, because you're someone that started multiple businesses. I've only started one.
Yeah. So. I mean, we have other friends who have. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, let's see. Let's see what
seniors and they're all talking about how they want to get into entrepreneurship, that they're entrepreneurs, they're starting a business. And I was like, hey man, I talked to you 6 months ago. So where are you at with that business? He's like, I'm still getting my LLC set up. What? Dude, that's not starting a business. That's like being able to have a business. There are four steps to start a business that anyone can do. Step one, get an article. Incorporation that you can get online. Step two, take that of incorporation to go to a bank and open a bank account. Step three, connect payment processor to said bank account to collect money. Step four, provide value to a stranger in exchange for money. That's it. And they could have done all of those things in the time that they were talking about the business that they wanted to start. So I'm at this dinner with a bunch of college seniors.
Yeah. All right. So yeah, what do you say?
I say I agree. A lot of people talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. Like, you talk about, oh, I'm going to have this business and stuff. It's not that hard. Set up an LLC, like he said, and then you're like, all right, set that up. You got the EIN number.
We're talking 36 about hours, this can be done. 36 hours. Again, this is for the reels. In 36 hours, you can get an LLC done. You can get it. You can get the information with your name, your details. You could literally go to the bank. You can literally open an account online, then make an appointment with a bank within 36 hours, have your account open, and then connect Stripe, PayPal, or Square into your bank account.
Yeah.
36 hours. That means you're not a real entrepreneur if you took 6 months to say, I'm still working on opening an LLC. You're a fool. The person's
and
a fool.
Red He's flag not a real if they're asked, if you're hearing this at a party or something, and they're like, oh, I'd love you to invest. And they're like, yeah, I'm still working on the LLC. Red flag. No, that's not someone that knows what they're doing.
Yeah, he's not an entrepreneur. Yeah. Listen, not everybody's made to be an entrepreneur. It became like a fad, you know, like a new hype. Yeah, I'm an entrepreneur. What did you entrepreneur, Latami?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah. Like, what are you bringing money in? What's that revenue?
I don't even care. I don't care if you bring the money in. Like, you need the LLC to protect yourself.
Sure.
First of all, you need a bank account that in case you get a good client, you get to collect the money. You don't necessarily need to have the ability of having a product or e-commerce. Just the ability to collect money if you do a service for someone is what you need. Like if you do a favor, okay, the guy gives you $100, $200, $1,000, and he says, oh, but I don't carry cash. Like today, everybody's virtual. I'm virtual. Yep. Like I'm not carrying cash. What's your PayPal? What's your Zelle? You know, that's what you're going to do. How are you going to collect the Zelle? By the way, don't open a TD Bank account for business. They don't have Zelle for now. So just as a side point.
Yeah. That's important. The bank I use also doesn't have Zelle for business accounts, which is quite annoying.
Disaster. Kira, open another bank account. Go to another bank account.
I need
bank
to look into
America,
it.
Chase, Citizen, Capital One.
Any
of the big
ones.
I don't know what they
ones.
Have in the West Coast. Any of the big ones except for TD, they all have Zelle for business. It's ridiculous if you don't have a bank account with Zelle today. Ridiculous. Yeah. It's a waste of time.
I agree. It is it's creating a hurdle that I really, really don't need.
Yeah, once you go Bitcoin level. If you go Bitcoin, then you got to we're in the same boat.
And we talked about that last episode 4, for people that want to talk about and learn about cryptocurrency. Benny kind of taught me about that. But yeah, I mean, these are just
but
like-
But it still costs, by the way. Crypto still costs. Zelle is for free.
Yes, very much so. Yeah. And yeah, I think it's, I liked the quote that he said of, this is just allowing you to have a business, basically. Like setting up the LLC is just like, it's like step zero, I feel like, in terms of business and like setting it up so you can. So I like this was quick and easy, just the steps. You just do this, streamline and accurate. Because sometimes you watch these videos and you're like, oh, that's not right.
No, honestly, I think everyone should have what he said to get. Everyone should have some sort of LLC for their name.
Agreed. Tax.
Either incorporated in Delaware, incorporated in Delaware, Texas, Florida. You know, there's many other states depending, but Delaware is the majority of all corporations are developed.
And why is that?
Because it's very hard to break corporate veils, right? You cannot break the corporate veil in Delaware, state of Delaware.
So there's a lot of protections, you're saying?
There's a lot of protections. It's almost every major company and individual can open an LLC in Delaware. And that's where you should open an LLC, honestly.
Is there tax incentives to opening in Delaware? Like
I think it's about corporate tax is about 8%, I think.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. State tax.
And for the state tax. Yeah. Because I know Nevada is no state income tax. So that's awesome. I just moved here.
State income tax to personal or corporate?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, they got to check that. I got to check that.
I definitely know personal. But yeah, I didn't know. I guess corporate. I mean, does that depend when you say corporate? Does that include LLCs that are sole proprietor?
Well,
LLCs?
Don't do sole proprietary. I advise everyone never to do a sole proprietary. Always disconnect yourself to your company and let your company do the work.
Interesting.
Yes.
If you have an LLC, if you're the only one that's running the LLC and on paper, you're the only one. Then you're saying that's not as protection of yourself versus the company.
No, if your LLC is an S corp and you give yourself a K-1 at the end of the year, so in it, essentially the LLC and you are the same when it comes to the income. You want to separate your LLC to your income, to your personal income. Like, why do you need $1 million a year income? If your LLC made $2 million for that year, it's going to be coming on your name. Why would you want to do that? You need your LLC to be a separate entity from who you are.
Mm.
Get your salary, the amount that you think you need, right? For whatever reasons you need it for.
Right.
Any private reasons, you can get me on my neck and I'll tell you those details. Right. But the reality is that's, you know, there's a way to do things in order to, you know, bypass systems or reap benefits of the system. Like we are in a system. Use it for your
very much. Yes, you got to play the game. I think we in the future will probably do a full episode on like figuring out which setup is for what and everything. Yeah.
Yeah, depending on what project you're doing, for sure.
Yeah. No, that's really helpful, especially for people that are at that stage of starting their businesses and everything.
Yeah, no doubt. So. No doubt. Next one.
All right, next one.
The guy said it good. He said it good.
I like this guy. He's very succinct too with what he's saying. I think you said his name was Andrew, something like that.
Yeah.
So this next video that Benny's pulling up. So this is talking about the concept of hourly rate versus having like a project rate.
Yes.
And so afterwards, we'll kind of talk about which is better.
I want to know where my 18.
Oh, I'm sorry, you good?
No, go for it. Yeah, yeah.
$10,000 is going.
Does that mean if I work less hours, I should charge you less?
Yeah.
So if I go over those hours, I should charge you more?
Sure.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're saying to me, you value this logo taking longer rather than shorter. So it means if I just tell you it took me 4 months to work on it, you will now owe me $36,000.
If it's in my budget and if I think you're worth it, but I would also ask, why would it take that long to make that logo?
I wouldn't put a lot of effort into it.
But I could hire somebody else who would charge me the same rate, but do it quicker.
So you value time over money then?
Sure, as a business person, yeah.
So here's the deal. I work really fast. I can come up with a logo, but I'm being punished for me being efficient and really good. You understand the logic doesn't work now?
Sure.
That's the problem. So if I could do a logo for you right now and you love it in 5 minutes, are you saying it's worth less than 18 or is it worth more now? It's worth more. So charging by the hour punishes me for being good. Why?
Yeah.
Do you agree?
Yeah, but one thing I don't like about, because he has another video.
Okay.
Where he says he upcharges now his value.
Yes.
In order to diminish, to drop the individuals who are hiring him.
Mm.
Right. I think that's a mistake. Like in the other video that he says, don't do that. I mean, you want to raise it to stop people from like literally booking you. He did it. He said it again, I'm charging more to prevent bookings because I'm being booked all the time. But that's the opposite. You didn't utilize that situation for your benefit. If people are booking you all the time, raise it maybe 10%, 15% higher, and then get other people who work with you or who trained under you to take over, right? Spread the wealth. I mean, like, that's one thing I don't like. What he is saying for sure, everything when it comes to service is about time.
It is.
It's about time. And if I charge you for my time, $300, $400 or $1,000 a time. I get it. But at the same time, guess what? In my experience, when you overcharge your time, you lose opportunity of meeting new people.
Yeah.
And I like to meet new people. I like to create new resources of people who can do things for me. But by you blocking your time at such high numbers, you already blocking the opportunities of people who can be the next millionaires, billionaires, or whatever it is. Because obviously, if a person's already paying you $2,000, that guy got money.
Right.
That person got money. So they're booking you. You want that relationship. Not only did you get a friend, you also got a friend who paid you money for your time.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you do that? But those who charge like high numbers, I'm not going to say what's a high number. Everyone knows their high number. You're just basically blocking any future of smaller people. So I tell people, there's no difference between a millionaire, multimillionaire, or a billionaire.
Hmm.
Right? Just because you got great opportunities to get to the billions doesn't mean that you're more resourceful than I am.
Mm.
Right. I know people who are millionaires who come to me for help.
Right.
Their lifestyle, life stories. Right. And why do they come to me for help? Is because the knowledge resource I have is much more than the knowledge resource they have. So your people are forgetting what resources other people have. People think it's all about the money resource. It's not about the money resource. It's the knowledge-based resource. I know things 10 times more. Like if you give me any company, I can show you what your company is doing that's making them lose money and what they can do to make them not lose money. I'm not going to promise you to make you money, but I'm for sure promise you what you need to do not to lose money.
Right. And I think you highlight a lot of great aspects of this. And I think one of them is when you're paying for someone's time, you're not just paying them for that 1 hour it took to do a project or whatever, the 10 hours or whatever. You're paying for the expertise for that time and all the years it took them to be able to do something in an hour that might take someone else 10 hours. So, you know, as an example, I'm obviously on here. I'm the host, co-host of this show, but I also do editing. And so I work with a lot of other clients and I do podcast editing for them. They're not just paying me for the hour it takes to edit that audio file. They're paying for someone that has been working in this field for 13 years that I've become very efficient at editing and really good at it. Yeah, they could hire someone else that doesn't have as much experience to do that. And it's going to take them four times as long to do it. I can do it shorter. So I should be charging a higher hourly rate than that other person that doesn't have as much experience. Because let's say I charge $150 an hour. That other person might charge $75 an hour, but it's going to take them 4 hours, whereas it's only going to take me one. So I'm also going to be cheaper, being more efficient. So it's kind of figuring out those numbers, and that you also don't want to isolate yourself, like you're saying, Benny, from getting new business. And some people are going to have a big budget for you. Others aren't. And so for me, when I work with nonprofits, I have a different rate for nonprofits than I do for profit businesses, because it's two different ballgames. They've got different marketing budgets. They can't afford that higher rate. So it's knowing your audience too.
No doubt, agreed. But there's a caveat, what I tell people. Like this guy who does this logo, or he's saying that he does logos, right? Charge me per logo. Don't charge me per your time.
Yes, that makes sense.
You tell me you make logos. Right, you tell me a logo. Give me a project-based charge. You say my logos cost $5,000. Okay, let me see your logos.
Yep.
Okay.
Let me see your portfolio. Yeah, I like how you've
branding.
Done this. Yep.
I like how you've done this. Fine. Here's $5,000. But what people's do, and this is really because of my experience within the engineering and architectural world in construction, you know, levels and zoning. Most architects and engineers charge by the hour, and they delay your project. When they should be going by project, the engineer or architect should already know how long it takes. You already have done this for years. And plus, before you're an architect and engineer, you got to be a draftsperson. You got to go through the grounds. So now, with that being said, you know how long it takes to do one page of architectural drawing. So do the math. How many pages do you need for this project based on square footage? And just give a flat rate fee, 20,000, 30,000. That's it. Just give me the
because it's also advantageous for them, because if that's the project, they kind of know how long it takes and they're like, all right, it's going to be 20,000 for this project. They're incentivized to do it faster because otherwise they're wasting their time.
No doubt.
So you win because you know exactly how much you're paying, and they win because they can do it. They can try to do it as efficiently as possible. And if they don't, that's their own problem.
Yeah, but they're doing it on purpose. Why are they doing it? They're doing it in order for them not
to. It's hourly, they're doing it on purpose because then they make more money in the end.
Of course. That's the idea. And then they can blame it to the client that he's not ready. Because, okay, we're charging the hour. Okay, we'll start that now. But again, I'm not saying in the architect or engineering world there's no flaws in the consumers. There are.
Sure.
The consumer is not always going to be ready to move on when the architect is not going to always be twiddling his thumbs waiting for you. He's going to get another client.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit catch-22. It's a little bit complicated. That's my opinion.
It's tough. I think everything is case by case, whether you should be hourly or project. But I think if you can be, project-based is better.
Project-based is always better. I love project-based projects. I mean, charges.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's definitely. But I liked this one. It kind of made me think a little bit more.
Yeah. And if you're project-based, always add 30% more than what you think it'll cost.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know if we talked about that off-air or in one of the episodes, but that's a really good thing, because that way, if it ends up being under budget, great, you made a profit. And if it ends up there was a little bit more money, you're like, oh, I'm glad I charged more, because now that can cover those
even
costs.
If you overspend time, because maybe there are issues.
Right.
All right, let's get to our next buddy. Our next buddy.
Who's
this? What's his name? Mark Cuban.
Mark Cuban.
All right, let's see what Mr. Marky has. Mark.
Let's hear it.
Cuban, I'm sorry.
Moron. There's so many uncertainties involved with starting a business, yet the one certainty that you'll have to have is paying back your loan. 99% of small businesses you can start with next to no capital. It's more about effort. Small businesses don't fail for lack of capital. They fail for lack of brain, lack of effort. If you start a business, you better know your industry and your company better than anyone in the whole wide world. If you're going to compete with me and one of my businesses, you better realize that I'm working 24 hours a day to kick your ass. If you're starting a business and you take out a loan, you're a moron.
Yeah, Okay, I just wanted that front to the first page.
Yes. So okay, I overall disagree. Where are you at with this?
See, what he said initially here kind of contradicts what Elon Musk said, right?
Yeah.
So Elon is saying you need to be competitive. You need to have, like, but for you to be competitive at either on the product or the service, you have to have money to do so.
Right.
Like how he's saying I can start a small business with a zero competition. But look what he's saying. He has a disproportionate evaluation. Like this is, you're Mark Cuban. You have billions of dollars. Right. You said right now you're working 24/7. You're saying I shouldn't take a loan or I shouldn't take money in order to compete with you. How am I going to compete with you?
Unless you just already have so much money like Mark Cuban. If he starts a new company, he can just take from his own wealth. Most people don't have a ton of wealth to just pull from to start a business. So you, like most companies, have started with a loan. Yes, you want to be smart about it. You don't want to take a massive loan and you don't have a clear projection of how you're going to be able to pay that back. And then at what point are you going to start making a profit, in what year or what month, whatever that looks like. So I disagree. Most people are going to need to take a loan to start their business because you need money to be able to do all these things. Yes, I agree that you need to have a good idea. You need to be passionate. You need to be ready to put the work in. I mean, we're called Midnight Market for a reason here, burning that midnight oil, right? At the beginning, sure. But him saying he still works 24 hours a day, nah. I'm calling BS on that. He's not working 24 hours a day. He's got people for that.
Well, that's technically him. I mean, they're his messengers.
Right, they're his messengers. But it's like, you're not working 24 hours a day.
Well, I'm sure he works 10 hours, 15 hours a day.
He probably works a decent day, yeah. But it's like, he's overseeing things, so it's a little bit different. He's not boots on the ground kind
of thing. But the thing is, honestly, okay, yeah, I got what you're saying. But I think we're nitpicking too much on how he's working. For sure, he's not working himself like 24 hours a day, but his operation is 24 hours a day.
Sure, yes. No, I agree with the phrasing of that. Yes,
because it's his, so he's going to refer it to his self person. Right?
I thought he was saying, I just never sleep. And
I cannot imagine he never sleeps. I mean, I think he lives good. But I don't think this is his intent. His intent is to give advice, but the outcome of what he's saying seems to be, he's telling everybody, listen to me carefully. If you take a loan, you're going to lose your money because I'm going to outpace work on you.
Mm.
And that's what it makes me feel when he's saying that, you know, and not feel, but makes me see it. I see it. Those are the words you basically are saying, right, more or less. You're saying, don't take a loan. You're a moron for taking a loan. Not you specifically, Kira.
Right.
But that's what I'm still repeating. What are you saying? I'm trying to be, you know, so
hey, if it's warranted, you could call me a moron. If it's not yet, but I may say something and you're like, oh, this is the moment.
No. The most closest word I will say in with moron is oxymoron, which doesn't mean you're a moron, just means you're contradicting yourself.
Yes.
Right. That's what it is.
That was a good save, Betty.
So in reality, you know, Mark Cuban, I respect you, brother, but I think you're really discouraging people with your advice. Not taking a loan. But again, in other sense, he is right, because the previous one we said, when you open the LLC, you open whatever it is, and you can already start charging services, and literally that is no money down. That's like, what, $500 to $1,000 opening all those things. So in that aspect, I agree with him. But in the aspect where he's saying that if you have a product or service, which is really what I think he's referring to as a small business, or if you have a store, like, but again, how can you have a store without any loan? I mean, like, you need money to open a store. He's being very macro and micro at the same time, and we don't know what it's referring to, right?
Right.
I think he's very, I think it's very weak. I know it's a snippet, but still.
Right, so we do have to say that. We're taking something out of context. We haven't heard the whole full long form context.
Yeah, but at the same time, now I know why Elon Musk talks the way he talks, because he knows shorts are going to come out of his words.
Definitely. And we all have to be aware of that, right? Yeah.
So you have to make sure that your statements, no matter what, your 30 to 90 second statements are specific to ideas.
It's not going to become a sound bit on CNN and you're going to get made fun of. So,
well, yeah. I don't care if they make fun of me. It's better. No press is bad press.
Yeah, there you go. But I mean, Mark Cuban does have a good point in the aspect that I agree with, is you do need to be, you know, he says like businesses fail for lack of brain and effort. Yeah, that's part of it. I think you need the money to be able to get going. But yeah, if you're not putting the effort in, if you're not thinking things through, then yeah, you're not going to do well. And that's kind of common sense, right? That's nothing too crazy.
I agree. Yeah. Obviously he's saying don't take, he's, by the way, I know why he says this also, because I've watched him many times. He is against loans.
Mm.
He doesn't like, as an entrepreneur, he doesn't like this loan thing. You know what I mean? He's against loans. He wants,
which is tough. Like, unless you come from money, you're going to need a loan. So if you're against loans, it's kind of like for people that grew up lower middle class or under that, it's like, yeah, you're probably going to need a loan to get started. So it's kind of not inclusive.
Yeah, but Mark,
different socioeconomic backgrounds and agree, people that want to be entrepreneurs.
Right, I agree. But Mark was from a middle class background. So.
Was he? Okay.
Yeah. He wasn't born.
I'll have to look into his backstory and like how he got to where he is today.
Yeah, it's a very fascinating story. He worked very hard. There's no doubt about it. Yeah. All right, Mark. I respect you, brother.
Yes. Next. Good conversation.
Next. Yeah. It was a good one. Let's get the next guy. I want to get many of these things going. I think these are good things. I mean, we got to definitely do at least once a month segments where we.
Yeah, I think that this fosters good conversation and everything. And so this guy is kind of inspirational. I like this one.
No problem. Let's hit it.
A new person, put them through this exercise. If they will not go through this exercise, do not waste a minute of your time with them, because they will never be successful if they won't follow your guidance. Here's the exercise. Take a clean sheet of paper and write down goals in today's date, and then write down 10 goals that you would like to accomplish in the next 12 months, and write them in the present tense. I earn, I achieve, I weigh, I drive such and such a car, I own. And then you take this list of 10 and you say, if I magic wand, and I could wave this magic wand, and I could have any one goal on my list within 24 hours, which one goal would have the greatest positive impact on my life? And usually this will jump out at you. Put a circle around that goal. And that's a goal you transfer to a clean sheet of paper, and then you follow the 7 steps. Write it down, set a deadline, make a list of everything you have to do to accomplish it, organize the list into a checklist, take action, and then do something every day. If you'll just do this, nothing can stop you but yourself. From now on, whenever you...
All right, cool.
Are you a goal-oriented person, Benny?
So this is the thing with goals. Yes, I am, and no, I'm not. So what does that mean? I've seen a lot of things. I've seen this before, by the way.
Okay.
And I've seen a lot of other type of, shorts you can say, or podcasts on YouTube and all the socials about what is the danger of creating goals. The danger in creating goals is creating a high expectation of yourself that tomorrow you might never meet, because goals are really not what you, it's something that you want to achieve, but you never know if you can achieve it. So it's a little bit complicated. He is right. What he's doing is more maybe in the middle.
Right.
You're taking 10 goals, take the one that you really know you can do. That's what's going to really pop up, and then you'll be able to do it. But the way I set up my goals is, if I can reach 10% of my high expectation goals, I already reached what I need to reach. That's the way I look at it. If I can reach 10%, make it manageable. Like, if you can make it like, oh, I did X, but I want to do like Y, but I got to level C, you know, I'm not all the way to Y, like in the spectrum of the letters, right? In number sequence, I want to go to 10, but I reached 2. Thank God I reached to 2. And not, you know, I'm closer to 10 than before. But then you have these goals that are non-reachable, non-attainable. I don't like that. You know, when you do a non-attainable goal, you're setting yourself up for failure.
Yeah.
Why would you set up yourself for failure? You know, I don't know. Unless you're setting up goals that you already are self-aware of what you're capable of doing. But not only are you self-aware of what you're capable of doing, you're self-aware of what opportunities will be in front of you. Very complex. These are things that are beyond your reach, beyond your control. You're not in control of opportunities that fall or are opening in front of you. You're not in control of regulation or government. You know, you can have a vision. I always tell people, if you want to do goal-orientated, make it very macro. That's it. Just make it macro. And if you attain some form of it, be happy.
Yeah.
That's what I say.
I agree with the thought process behind it and having specific goals too, because if you say, I want to grow my podcast, well, how are you going to say if you really did or not, right? So I think making it a manageable goal, I want to grow my podcast 10%. in a quarter, a year, whatever. And then you can really have a way of measuring, well, did I? All right, did you get 10% more downloads? Did you get 10% more subscribers or engagement or whatever that is? But making sure that it's measurable, because some people are like, you know, if we take it out of that context, oh, I want to exercise more. I want to lose weight. Well, okay, how are you going to know you really achieved that? And also making it manageable, right? If we said we want to have 1 billion subscribers to this show in the next month, that's not realistic. So that should not be a goal. But saying like, oh, we want to grow the show, like whatever, even 20%, I think that's attainable in the next, you know, few months, whatever. So I think making sure that it's reasonable. And then I like how, you know, this gentleman said, like, break it down into like what you can, what the steps are to get there. Because then once you have it all laid out, then you're just following through. So I like how he does it that way, and to focus. At first, he had that, all right, let make a list of 10 goals you have for this next year or whatever he said, time period wise. And then, all right, now focus on one of those. It's like, it's good to have those other goals in mind. You could work towards them, but focus and not just, I want to do all these things. It's like, you're not going to do that. People that have like, I have 10 New Year's resolutions. You have 10, it'd be amazing if one stick. If you have one and you're focused on that, way more likely that's going to happen.
Yeah, but the other thing is, for example, to specify on your example, which is subscribers or YouTube or social media. Now, you know how you have in the ancients, you know, Greek mythology, they had labyrinths, right?
Sure.
And there was always a test to go through a labyrinth, right?
Always.
Right? And then you would either have to be smart enough to understand how to go through the labyrinth, or you would have the special map through the labyrinth, or you're able to just break through the labyrinth. Mm. When you have a goal as a social media influencer, if you don't understand how the algorithms of all these platforms are working, you're literally just trying to throw your head through the labyrinth and not going through the maze. So I suggest every single person learn how the systems work in order for you to do it. And if you want to break through the walls, it's called money. Mm. Buy marketing companies, buy positions in the social media to jump start your position. Which is nothing wrong with that. That's the game today.
It right? is.
It's not organic like it used to be. You know, where it was, where the labyrinth will move for you in order to get to the end goal. Now the labyrinth is moving against you. So if you want it, you got to feed it because it's alive.
Yes.
Yeah. That's why I tell people, right? You got like, these are good to have goal orientations, but don't be head against the wall and just knocking your head constantly. Learn what's in front of you. So if you want to have those subscribers, don't feel discouraged. Oh, I'm not getting any subscribers, because you're not using the tools needed to get yourself in the positions.
Right. And one strategy that you might start with may not work. You got to check in with yourself. Is this leading towards achieving that goal, or do I have to recalibrate and figure out a different way of doing things? And that's going to apply to a lot.
Agreed. Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed. Awesome. Let's get to the next. Wait, who's our next sacrificial lamb?
Yes. So our next one, we're kind of going back to the concept of how you're paid.
I really, really don't want to
say that, right?
So talking about having a rate of, all right, I'm going to charge you X amount per hour or project, kind of lumping those together now. Or do you say, when I bring new customers to you, I get a percent of that new revenue? So I like this concept, and I like how they're kind of arguing a little bit here. Sorry, I'm going crazy because there is a fly in here. So definitely play that video. ideas coming at me.
All right,
more than $1,000.
I understand. $1,000 is a lot for you. I'd like to propose something else. I'll do the video for you for free. If we get the results that you want, I'd like a percentage of the results. Can we do that? No risk to you at all.
That sounds fantastic. What's the percentage that you're thinking?
We're talking about measuring the difference between traffic and revenue that you get. There's lots of things I can't control. So all I want to do is get paid per new customer that walks in your door. How about, since you say each customer is going to spend $100 with you, let's go half, $50. No risk to you. I take all the risk and I rely on your honesty. What's the hesitation?
I'm concerned that you're going to make a banger video and then we're going to get a lot of clients in the door. And then I'm going to be out 50% of that revenue. What if it exceeds 1,000?
It's going to exceed 1,000. That's the whole point. I take all the risk. Or you can just pay me what I'm worth and you keep all the profit.
I really, really don't want to spend more than $1,000.
Okay.
Which would you do, Benny? If you were the guy paying for the video, which would you do in this scenario?
Okay, so this is the shtick. Mm-hmm. The guy with the necklace, right? First of all, I saw this video also.
Yeah.
I'm glad that at least four of the videos you presented, I already saw.
Yeah, right? Yeah, I tried to find the viral ones.
Yes, these are the viral ones, right? So, yeah, he is making a huge mistake, the guy with the chain. Massive mm-hmm. mistake. You don't have the $1,000, right? Like, yeah. He doesn't have the money to pay, I think. Mm-hmm. He has only $1,000. He can't pay. This guy, we had him before, right? With the logo.
Yep, he's the logo man. Yep.
He's the logo guy. So he doesn't have the $1,000, right? And he's offering to do a video for free. Dude, you have no ability to pay him.
Yep.
And now you're counting potential money that doesn't exist.
Yep.
Let him do the video for the first round, right? Mm-hmm. With 1,000 customers. Or whatever you think, you're getting 50% of doing nothing.
Yeah.
You're a fool. You're thinking of what doesn't exist to what's existing now. He's doing a video for you. That's for free. You don't know if it goes viral or not. We're assuming it's going to get viral, but he's going to take 50% of the customers. I would definitely say, yeah, go for it. Let's do the video.
Yeah.
And then after I do this video, then the next video, here's your money extra. Do another mm-hmm. video for me.
Right. Now I want you to just, I'm going to pay you the flat rate instead of that new customer acquisition.
Exactly.
Because, yeah, he doesn't have money to play with. So if the video flops, what did he lose? And if the video does so well that he's now gaining all this business as it sounds like just starting his business, oh my gosh, great. Now you actually have customers, because without the video, it would have had a trickle. Yeah. Versus a stream. So exactly. Yeah, I agree.
I think these are where people's are way off. If you have people willing to do deals with you for free, mm-hmm. you take that, because that's very rare. Yeah. The rarity of him doing a viral video is much more than what you can ever do. I mean, like, you're going to pay for what? It's like, I don't know. I think he's way off the guy with the chain. I think his assessment is way off. And this is why many people's like him will have a difficulty in making money tomorrow.
Right. And I think too, that doesn't it show how confident that video producer is to be like, I know I'm going to make a great product because I'm not even asking to get paid on the product alone. I'm asking just for all the customers I'm bringing you. So I'd be like, wow, this person is so confident in what they do. That makes me more confident that it's also going to be a great video in terms of whatever time I need to consult with this person to make the video, right? Because like that is a little bit of it. You can't just have the person make the video. You're probably going to have to say, all right, this is what I'm thinking. There's a little bit more information about our company and what we offer and all of that stuff.
Yeah, but you can see he does lectures and a lot of people come.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, if this guy offered me a free video, I'd say yes before he finished the sentence. I mean, clearly he knows what he's doing, right?
No doubt. I agreed. Let's hit one more up.
Let's check this one out. So yeah,
which one is this guy?
This
but you want to see if you're a brave person.
Okay, which one is this?
About never quitting.
Oh, okay, let's hit it.
What they call the 4 o'clock in the morning courage. Wait when things go completely to pieces, when things are the worst, when your very best deal fall apart and your rent is late and you're tired and you're sick and everybody is mad at you and your car doesn't work. Then it's the person that picks themselves up and says, nothing is going to stop me. You know, the best quality in the world that you can develop is to develop the quality of being unstoppable. Say in yourself that no matter what life throws at me, it'll never stop me. No matter how rough it gets, I will never quit. And nothing will ever stop me. Make the decision that you can be tired, you can be worn out, but nothing is ever going to stop you. But if you want to see if you're a brave person, what they call the 4 o'clock in the morning.
Very good. I like that. 4 o'clock in the morning courage. What do you think?
Yeah. I love this because I think that unless you are that kind of like unstoppable, which I think that is kind of, you know, I don't know. I kind of want a better term for that, you know, of just being very determined, that you're just tenacious, maybe is a better term, that you're just going to keep going. Even when your business is not doing that well, that you're like, I see the future and I see what I need to change. And I'm going to stick with it. My business, I wasn't trying to have it be a business for a long time. And then I was like, you know what? We've got this great product. Now I'm going to start, you know, trying to get sponsors and everything like that for my main show. But there are times where, you know, especially towards the beginning of doing that, we weren't making money for a little bit, but I hung in there. I was like, I'm still going to produce an episode. I'm still going to do all of this because I'm like, I see the money I can make in the future. And I'm determined to keep this going. And that's, I think, why I'm successful today and why that show is successful. But we're all going to hit, and we've talked about our failures on the show, Benny. We're all going to hit failures, but it's really, all right, how are we bouncing back from that? What are we learning from it? And how are we applying in the future? Because you are inevitably, no matter what you do in life, are going to fail. How are you returning from that and coming out stronger on the other end?
Agreed. Now, there is a, this is a Talmudic concept that it says, nothing can stand in front of ultimate will. When a person reaches ultimate will, everything is before him. It's really up to him. So yeah, the 4 o'clock in the morning courage, right? I get it. It's like you're like where you're already tired, you're exhausted, and you're just running it, you're cranking it. You know what I mean? That's the midnight market.
Yes.
Midnight oil.
Yeah. Yes, very much. Yeah,
so that is I agree with this. I saw this also as well many times. Mm-hmm. And definitely listen, the ability to have this massive ultimate will, it's very important. But there's a minus to it. Right. What's the minus? You got to think logically. Mm. When you have this ultimate will, it's not my way or the highway. You got to be able to adapt in front of you. This is so important in any business and any project. Adapt. If you don't have that AAA, you're going to lose.
Yeah. Yeah. You need to have that support network and ability to shift gears and all of that. And I think that's where you need to have all those resources to be able to do all those things. I think, obviously this is just a clip, right? But I wouldn't be surprised if other aspects of this is like having that support network and having other people, because you can't just rely on yourself. I mean, that's so important, but having other places to be able to support you as well.
Yeah, you need a team.
Yeah, you need the team. You can be a solo entrepreneur for a little bit, but then at some point you want your business to be too big for you to do on your own. Like that's right. The goal. Yeah.
No ring has ever been won without a team.
Exactly. Benny, I think we have time for one more because I also really like this one.
Let me get the other one. Which one is it?
So this one I'll kind of preface. Free shipping mistake. So I think this is really interesting.
Okay.
That this
I mean, I thought we're gonna go bang ultimate will.
Yes. That is true. Right. We'll end it with more of a business focus. Yes.
There's a company that sold chocolate covered pretzels. And this company, when you air a Shark Tank, it's like Dragon's Den. You get a big push, all the PR, all the marketing, and people buy those products. So she had chocolate covered pretzels. We worked with her. Her cost was $14. She sells them for $29.95. This is going to air. She should kill it. It airs. Tons of sales. Her cash is going like this. I'm like, what is going on with your cash? Oh, we decided to do free shipping just to make our customers happy. So she has $15 in profit margin. How much is your shipping? $16. There's a company that sold chocolate covered.
Wow. What a mistake.
Rookie move, right?
What a mistake. You got that whole process. You got this whole Shark Tank behind you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is where Mark Cuban is right on. This is for sure. You're giving free shipping at $16. And either way, between you and I, the sad part is she could have probably gotten the same shipping for cheaper by using other shipping products or other shipping platforms.
$16 for, you see her right now holding the chocolate. It's not that big,
Yeah, the weight is very little.
Right? Because pretzels are light. The chocolate's a little heavier. But that $16 for shipping, that seems crazy. But just to make her customers happy. It wasn't, and again, we're having this in a little clip, right? So we're kind of hoping that Mark Cuban's giving us the right information here. But unless you have a competitor.
I know, let's move off the screen.
Because I've made tons of business mistakes that I've learned from, right? That we could go in on me on, and I'm sure we will in the future. But the only reason that I would have offered free shipping is if there's a competitor of a chocolate covered pretzel company that's offering free shipping and it's the same price. I'm like, okay, well, could we last long enough for them to shut down and then we could stop offering free shipping or up our prices or whatever?
No. Listen, there's a problem that people don't get in sales. It's very simple. If someone is buying something, they will pay for the shipping.
Mm.
That's already mentally embedded in everybody.
I disagree a little bit though.
Unless this is what we're going to argue. Unless you're Amazon that constantly offers free shipping, bless you.
Yes.
Unless you're Amazon It's a sign I'm right. Unless you're Amazon. I'm just kidding. Unless you're Amazon, that offers free shipping. What are you here? You're going to compete with Amazon now? Come on.
I think for some products, as a consumer, I'll go on, okay, buying the product, it's X amount. I've got this in my head. All right, that's fine. I'll pay that. And then the shipping is like whatever, $16 in this case. Oh, okay, do I want it? Because now the price is $16 more than that. There are some, like I'll take Etsy store as an example. There are some, what are they called? Shops, I guess, that offer free shipping. And it's been found on Etsy, if you offer free shipping to your products, that you will sell more. And it puts it in a different category kind of on Etsy. So I have a friend that has an Etsy store that's been doing very well. And what she did was she increased the prices to include that whatever, let's say the cost was $100 and the shipping was going to be the $16. She just marked it $116 and says free shipping.
Yeah, well, that's what you should have done.
Yeah, that's what this business should have done. Because I think saying free shipping, like because of Amazon, people are used to free shipping.
No, but Amazon is free shipping if you have Amazon Prime.
Right, which a lot of people do. And if people are already in that mindset.
And a lot of people
don't.
A lot of people. It's the amount. Listen, they don't have near enough Americans doing Amazon Prime. Mm. I'm talking about the U.S. market.
Yeah.
They don't. I think there's a record of how many they have. I think maybe, it's for sure not the whole country.
Yeah.
The whole country is not on Amazon Prime. 350 million Americans are not on Amazon Prime.
No.
If it's half, maybe. But I heard they're only 50% of the U.S. e-commerce market. And I heard that this I know for sure. I just read, I saw this in Tucker Carlson, right? In that video where they're,
sure, that you mentioned,
where he mentioned about the Amazon, you know, how it could potentially be a monopoly. But now at the same time, they also said that if they are 50% of the e-commerce market, that means not all of that 50% are Amazon Prime shoppers.
Yeah.
Listen, don't get me wrong. I'm a Prime member. I'm not a Walmart, you know, I still buy other sites if Amazon doesn't have it. But the only reason why I buy from Amazon, because whenever I need something, I need it now. I don't, you know.
Right. You know, you're going to get in some cases. Now I live in Las Vegas now, and there must be a distribution site or something close to us, because sometimes I'll get it in a few hours. It's like insane.
Yeah, that's possible.
You know, I'm sure it's similar in Brooklyn. Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, I think it's offering something where you don't need to be competitive just to make your customers happy. Not if it costs money. It's something that makes your customers happy. Like, you know, if you're a small business and you write a little handwritten note when someone orders, you know, over $1,000 in merchandise or something, right? And you're like, thank you so much for supporting my small business, whatever. And you feel like that connects you. That doesn't cost you money. That's kind of a moment. Great. Awesome. Things like that, I think, are great. But offering a free service that's going to cost your company, I feel like you got to really be mindful of, well, how are you making up that money elsewhere?
Well, the thing is, you got to understand what she made, whatever the entrepreneur made a mistake was very simple. Mm-hmm. You had a Shark Tank influence.
Yeah. You had the ultimate marketing.
Yes. You could have made that money instead of making them happy now, right? They were happy already to buy it from you because that's why you already got those shoppers.
They want to support you. They saw you
exactly.
On the show.
They were going to pay the shipping anyway. And then you could have been on the plus and still rewarded them with another package of pretzels or something.
Yes.
There's other ways that they could have made more money. They
got
a bonus pack.
Bonus.
Or whatever it is.
That's advice that I've gotten recently from, I'm in an entrepreneur group and we get together every couple of weeks. And so one of the advice I got was, don't be offering discounts to companies, like financially, like, you know, if you have a package, whatever costs X amount, oh, I'll give you 20% off. They're like, stop doing that. Instead, say, oh, if you buy this, I'll throw in an extra, because then I'm not making less money, but they're still happy because they're getting something else.
No, not just that.
Yeah. I like that concept.
I always tell people, when you do catering, right? The catering business, right? In catering, never cut corners in food. Mm. You always have to make quality and give more.
Yeah.
If you want me to come back and eat by you, You got to give quality and you got to give more. So certain restaurants in Manhattan, I go because of that quality and yep. I get a lot, you know, and I get good.
Yeah.
Food,
and it's not the happy. Tiny thing where you're like, that course was a bite. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's where you really have to push it in that sense.
Right. In catering, I would think, like, instead of offering discount, whatever, you could say, oh, if you're ordering this much food or this many courses or for this many people, we'll also throw in a dessert or something instead of being like a percentage off, or we'll have more food for every meal, like having right. a little extra.
Bottom line is,
Pfizer. Yeah.
Right. Don't cut corners. Give me more for the money.
Yep, exactly.
If I already agreed to give you X amount of money and then you give me more, I'm like, wow, I paid this amount. I got extra.
And I got extra. Yeah, exactly. I think that's
cutting
awesome.
The price is okay. You cut my price, but then I feel you're going to cut your service.
And those people probably have the budgets to be able to pay full price. So you're just missing out on money.
Anyone who already agreed on paying full price, why are you going to give them a discount?
Yeah. Give them extra.
That's really ridiculous. You want to show gratitude? Mm-hmm. Give more. Yep. Give more. See, I did a bonus here for you. Next round, I'm going to give you another hour worth of service or whatever it is. Right. In the service market. Or you're going to say, listen, the next round, I'm going to do that. Like, figure out a way to give a bonus.
Yeah.
That's what I
love
think.
It.
And that's what everybody should be doing. Give bonuses.
Yep.
Give more than what you
can do that in every business model. There's exactly. always room to do that. Definitely.
Exactly.
Well, we have just talked. I love it. We watched, what do we watch? 8 awesome videos that we're able to really like dive into different concepts today, and nice to hear other people's voices and what they were thinking about. So thank you everybody for tuning in. Another great episode of Midnight Market, and we'll be back next week with another installment for episode 6. And we really appreciate any comments, feedback you guys have for the show. You can throw them in the comments. And we would love to respond to those. But Benny, thank you for another good stimulating conversation.
Excellent. I love it, Kira. Next time. Till next time, our subscribers, will not forget to subscribe to clicktalk.com or
click TikTok app.
iShookTV.
Right here,
QR code. And then don't forget also iShookCo.com. iShook.com, our social media platform where you are uncensored with a little house rules. May God bless, be well, everybody. And don't forget, burn the midnight oil.
Burn that midnight oil.